it's pretty amazing how powerful that is when you're getting ready to come up here and speak. We are going to talk about this morning of ridding me of myself. And although it's in the Old Testament, we will be looking at the New Testament a little bit. And hopefully this leads us to the cross. And we're also going to be talking about David, a man who did not have a thankful heart, and what happened with that. So let's look at 1 Chronicles 21. A couple chapters before this, David and Israel are having a lot of victories. God is blessing them greatly. They're overtaking a bunch of land that God had originally said was theirs, and they're taking it over from people like the Philistines and many others. David starts getting distracted a little bit in chapter 20, and in 21 he gets distracted a lot. I think it's a lot like Peter trying to walk on the water, got his eyes off Jesus, and he started sinking. I never knew this before in chapter 20. The people that know, I guess, say this is when David had his problem with Bathsheba. Chapter 20, verse 1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, Joab led out the armed forces. He laid waste the land of the Ammonites and went to Raba and besieged it. But David remained in Jerusalem. And then that gets us into chapter 21. Verses 1 and 2, Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan, then report back to me so that I may know how many there are." As you can guess, David's trusting in the wrong things here. He's trusting in an army. God was certainly blessing David, but David starts putting his trust into the blessings, which is very easy for us to do too. There's some very obvious things here: pride, power, and their idols before God. Just one thing I want to make clear: I'm not interested in calling out any particular sin. I just want us to know that we're all sinners. I'm a sinner, and that there is very good news at the end of this. Verse 3, Joab replied, "May the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over. My lord the king, are they not all my lord's subjects? Why does my lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel?" David's persistence towards sin. Joab pretty much tells him, Joab's a good friend and commander of his army, "Don't do this." David says, "I'm going to do it anyway." Someone can read through verse 16 there. So that'd be verse 4 through 16, if someone wanted to read that.
Start.
21, 16? Yeah, 4 to 16.
Should I just go? "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.' Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and tell David, saying, Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. Should I keep going? And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. To Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces.
All right, there is great loss. There is great punishment on David and the country, but there is also great mercy. Our God is full of mercy. I thought it was interesting that David kind of had a feeling that God might relent on this, what he was going to do. I just really thought it showed who God is, that God is mercy. He can't overcome that. it's pretty amazing. I get the feeling in verse 16, David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell face down. I get the feeling that the angel and God were just pausing over this threshing floor and over Jerusalem, just waiting to see what happens next. I think David, they're waiting to see what David did here. Why didn't the angel put his sword away? David needed to make a response right here. I just really like that idea of God pausing over a town or a city. And in verse 17, David says to God, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I, the shepherd, have sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Lord, my God, let your hand fall on me and my family, but do not let this plague remain on your people. David's repenting right here as he's admitting sin. So David sins greatly. He has this thing for seeing how powerful he is. 70,000 people die. And we come to this verse in verse 18. Then the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Uriah the Jebusite. So David went up in obedience to the word that Gad had spoken in the name of the Lord. David was ordered to build an altar. What does that mean in today's language? David was ordered to worship God, to pray to God. Maybe scripture was part of that. What is God desiring right here? God has paused over Jerusalem. David is told to worship God. Maybe one thing is, David, you're asleep in the light. I give you all these blessings. You know who I am, David. You're slacking off. You're not claiming me for who I am. I was wondering, what if God has paused over Brookerville right now? What if God desires no more judgment, but desires greatly to show his grace, to change our people, to draw us close again? What if God has paused, waiting for us to receive the Holy Spirit in a new way this morning? What would we do? What is God waiting for? And I was just wondering, why now in David's life? David, this is kind of at the end of David's reign as a king. He's done some more things, but David wasn't rid of himself yet. David still had a lot of pride, and it showed here. Verse 19. So David went up in obedience to the word that God had spoken in the name of the Lord. David obeys. David did it. I wanted to do that this morning, so let's pray. Lord, we come to you, and we just want to rid ourselves of us, Lord. We want to see you. Thank you that you are waiting for us to respond to you, Lord. We want to respond to you this morning and just ask you to send down your Holy Spirit and your grace upon us, Lord. There is great grace and mercy in this story, and we just want to receive that, Lord. Receive what you have for us this morning. We praise your name. Verse 20, it continues, while Uriah was threshing wheat, he turned and saw the angel. His four sons who were with him hid themselves. I was pretty sure that David was as scared as these four sons, and there were two totally different reactions. The sons went and hid, and David went forward and worshiped God. Verse 21, then David approached, and when Uriah looked and saw him, he left the threshing floor and bowed down before David with his face to the ground. Uriah knew he should be worshiping, but he worshiped the wrong person. He went to worship David. He should have worshiped God. And I know you guys heard this before. We are made to worship. Verse 22, David said to him, let me have the sight of your threshing floor so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. Sell it to me at the full price. Do we offer worship to God that costs us little? I think we come with too little a lot of times, and myself included in that. David, I know he was in a tight spot here, but he came, I believe he came fully to God at this point. Verse 23, Uriah said to David, take it. Let my lord the king do whatever pleases him. Look, I give the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give all this. But King David replied to Uriah, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. I think we're going to sing a song right here. I think it has a lot to say about how he can come seriously to God.